Hi, you're listening to Osho Radio.
Hear the birds singing. not a person. Because man has always taken God as a person. Thousand and one difficulties have arisen. All the problems that theology deals with are simply futile exercises. And the base is that God is taken as a person. God is not a person and cannot be. Let it go as deep in you as possible, because that will become a door, an opening. And particularly for those who have been raised as Jews, Christians, Mohammedans, it is very difficult to take God as anything else than a person. That becomes a closing. To think about God as a person is anthropocentric. In the Bible, it is said God created man in his own image, but just the contrary seems to be the case. Man has created God in his own image, and man differs. That's why there are so many gods in the world. It happened that when for the first time Christian missionaries reached Africa, they were in trouble. Because they painted God as white and devil as black. And the Negroes felt very much offended. They won't listen to them. Because from the very beginning the image was in conflict. Then one missionary simply got the idea. He changed the colors. He made God black and devil white, and Negroes were very happy. They could accept. A Negro is bound to paint his God in his own image. A Chinese in his own, an Indian in his own. We paint God as our own reflections. Of course, perfect. But your image cannot be God. You are just a part, a very tiny part, one atom in existence. How the whole can be conceived in the image of the part? The whole transcends the part. The whole is infinitely vast. If you cling to the atom, if you cling to the part, you will miss the whole. God is not to be conceived in your image. Rather, on the contrary, you have to drop your image. You have to become imageless. Only then, and only then, you become a mirror, and the whole reflects in you. God as person is just fullest. The whole concept is fullest. And he cannot be a person because he has to be all persons. How he can be a person himself? He cannot be somebody because he is everybody. And he cannot be anywhere because he is everywhere. You cannot define him, and personality is a definition. You cannot limit him, and as person he becomes limited. Personality is just like a wave, comes and goes, and he is like an ocean. He remains, he abides. Personalities come and go. They are forms. They are there and then they are no more there. Forms change. forms change into the opposites continuously, and he is the formless. He cannot be defined. He cannot be said who he is. He is all. But the moment you say he is all, the problem arises how to communicate. There is no need. You cannot communicate to him like a person. You have to communicate to him in a totally different dimension. The dimension is of energy. The dimension is of consciousness, not of personality. God is energy. God is absolute awareness. God is bliss, ecstasy, indefinable, unlimited, no beginning, no end, always and always eternal, timeless, beyond space. Because God means the total. The total cannot have a personality. This is the first thing to be understood very, very deeply, not only intellectually, but as totally as possible. Because if you can conceive, can feel, grope God as totality, then your prayer will be different. Then your prayer will not be a foolish prayer. Then he cannot be on your side. He is on every side. He is also with your enemy, as much as with you. And he is as much in the saint as in the sinner. Because he is I. He is as much in the dark as in the light. He comprehends all. All opposites meet and mingle and become one in him. Because of the concept of person, we have to create a devil against God. Because all the negativities, where you will put them, you have to create somebody to throw all the negativities on him. Then your God also becomes false. Your devil also false. Because negative and positives exist together, not separately. And all that you like, you put on God's side. And all that you don't like, you put on devil's side. It is your division. God is day and night, winter and summer, war and peace, satiety and want. Many have said many things about God, but no one is comparable to Heraclitus. There have been people who said God is light, but then where you put the dark? Then you have to explain from where the dark comes. God is day, many have said. God is sun, light, source of light. But then from where comes the night? From where comes the dark, the devil, the sin? From where? And why people have talked about God as light? Something psychological is involved. Man is afraid of darkness. Man feels very good when there is light. It is part of your fear. Why you call God light? Quran says God is light. Upanishads say God is light. Bible says God is light. Only a small school has been there. In that small school, Jesus was taught and brought up. to be ready to receive the divine. That small school was known as Essenes. They were the teachers and masters of Jesus. Only that school says God is dark, night. But then they never say God is light. They move to the other extreme. But they are beautiful people. Try to understand the symbol light and dark. You are not afraid in light because you can see. Nobody can attack you so easily. You can defend. You can escape. You can fight, or you can take a flight. You can do something. Everything is known. Light is the symbol of the known. With the known you don't feel fear. Darkness is the unknown. Fear arises in the heart. You don't know what is happening all around. Anything is possible and you are indefensible. Light is security. Darkness is insecurity. Light looks like life and darkness like death. Afraid, scared. Not only psychologically but biologically also. Because man has lived for thousands of years. In the dark, in the night, in the wild forests, caves, and the night was the problem. Because wild animals will attack. And man was indefensible. So when fire was invented, fire became the first god. It became a protection. A security. With the day everything is okay. With the night you don't know where you are. With the night everything disappears. So man is prone to identify God with light. Light has few beautiful things about it. It is warm. It is a source of energy. You cannot live without the sun. Nothing can exist without the sun. All life deep down is solar energy, the energy that comes from the sun. You eat it, you drink it, you live through it. If the sun simply disappears, goes cold, within 10 minutes, life on this earth will disappear. Within 10 minutes, because it takes 10 minutes for the rays to reach to us. If sun dies, then for 10 minutes, old rays will be coming. But by the 10th minute, new rays will not be coming and everything will go. Simply dead. We will not be even aware what is happening. Nobody will know that we have died. The whole planet dies. The trees, the animals, the birds, the man, everything. Life exists through the sun. It is warm, welcoming. Darkness has also beautiful things about you, about it. It is infinite. Light has always a limit. Darkness is limitless. And light is deep down an excitement. It excites you. Darkness is absolutely unexciting. Light is warm. Darkness is cool. Cool like death, mysterious. Light comes and goes, darkness remains, That's why Isani is called God, the dark, the night. Because light comes and goes, darkness remains, darkness is eternal. Light seems to be an episode, happens. You can arrange for light, but you cannot arrange for darkness. It seems beyond you. You can put on the light, you can put off the light, but you cannot put on the dark, and you cannot put off dark. It seems beyond you. It is, light is manageable. If it is dark, you can bring light in, but you cannot bring darkness, you cannot manipulate darkness. It is simply beyond control. And you put your light, but you know that light is momentary. When the fuel is finished, the light will go. But darkness is eternal, it is always there. It exists as if without any cause, uncaused. It was always, it will be always. So Isinis chose darkness as the symbol of God. But Heraclitus is alone who chooses both. To choose one extreme is still logical, rational. Reason is working. To choose both together is irrational. Reason simply is bewildered. God is day and night, both together. No choice. Winter and summer. War and peace. Will be difficult for people like Tolstoy, Gandhi, Bertrand Russell, that God is war and peace. They think God is peace. War is created by man. War is ugly, something devil may have invented. God is peace. Tolstoy cannot agree, a Gandhi cannot agree that God is war also. A Hitler cannot agree that God is peace also. God is war. Nietzsche cannot agree that God is peace also, God is war. There are choosers. Heraclitus is not a chooser. He is simply a choiceless awareness. He is not to choose, he is simply to say whatsoever is the case. He doesn't bring his own morality in it. He does not bring his own mind in it. He simply reflects. He is a mirror. Gandhi, Tolstoy, Ruskin, they are choosers. They have their own idea to impose on God. They impose the idea of peace, that God is peace. Then war is from the devil. But it is not possible. What is peace without war? Is there any possibility of peace without war? And will not be that peace simply be dead if there is no war? Just think, no war in the world, just peace. What type of peace it will be? It will be cold. It will be a dark night, dead. War gives intensity, tone, sharpness, life. But if there is only war and no peace, then too death will happen. If you choose one opposite from the polarity, if you choose one polarity, everything will be dead. Because life exists between polarities, war and peace both. Satiety and want contentment and discontentment both, hunger, want, desire, passion, peace, satiety, contentment. The way and the goal both difficult to comprehend. But this is the truth. It is God who desires in you, and it is God who becomes desireless in you. This is total acceptance. It is God who is a person in you, and it is God who becomes enlightenment in you. It is God who is anger in you, and it is God who becomes compassion in you. There is nothing to choose, but just look at the fact, if there is nothing to choose and everything is God, simply your ego disappears, because it exists with choosing. If there is nothing to choose and everything is just as it is, nothing can be done, and God is both with the chooser, with the choice, the ego disappears. Then you accept. Then you simply accept. When you are hungry and when you are satisfied, both are beautiful. This is difficult for the mind. The mind staggers, feels bewildered, loses ground, feels dizzy, as if you are standing on an abyss. Why it happens? Because mind wants clear-cut choice. Either this or that. And Heraclitus says, neither this nor that, are both. Ask Mahavir. Ask Buddha. They will say, desire, leave desire, become desireless, choose, become content, deeply content, leave discontent. Heraclitus penetrates even deeper. He says, who is there to leave? Who will leave? God is both. And if you can feel this, that God is both, everything is hallowed, everything becomes holy. Then in hunger also there is a contentment. Then in desire also there is a desirelessness. Then in anger also there is compassion. And if you have not known anger which is compassionate, anger which is compassion, you have not known life at all. If you have not known darkness which is light also, coolness which is warmth also, if you have not known that, you have missed the greatest climax where opposites meet. There happens the ecstasy, the ultimate orgasm with the universe, where opposites meet. God is both man and woman, war and peace. And man has been in difficulty because he has been always choosing. The society has always remained lopsided. All societies and civilizations have remained lopsided because everything depends on choice. We have created a society in the world which is male-oriented, war-oriented. The woman has been cut. She has no contribution to make. She is dark. She is peace. She is silence. She is passivity. compassion, not war. Woman is satiety, not desire. Man is desire, the excitement, the adventure, war. Always going somewhere, always reaching somewhere, finding something, seeking, searching. Man is the vagabond, woman is the home. But when they both meet, when the vagabond meets the home, where desire and satiety meet, where activity and passivity meet, there arises the greatest harmony, the hidden harmony.
The meditation today is called The Great Way. The Great Way is not difficult for those who have no preferences. When love and hate are both absent, everything becomes clear and undisguised. Make the smallest distinction, however, and heaven and earth are set infinitely apart. If you wish to see the truth, then hold no opinion for or against. The struggle between what one likes and what one dislikes is the disease of the mind. Today in Osho Radio you could listen to music by Nandin, by Milarepa, by Maniko, by Deva Premal, Karunesh, and some instrumental music from the world of Osho, where so many musicians have contributed with an incredible number of instruments. I really like to play that kind of music and share with you the celebration that comes out of it. I wish you all a happy and healthy week. And please come back to Osho Radio next week again. Namaste everybody and take care.